this time, what does it really mean when we call soccer the beautiful game? In Dublin last week, as part of the Art of Football conference, was Radvan Askin, a Basel-based academic who was one of the organisers of the original conference investigating the relationship between beauty and soccer. For his contribution to this fourth football aesthetics gathering, Askin searched very carefully for the poetry in football's finer moments, such as Diego Maradona's World Cup goal against England in 1986. But he began by telling Culturefile about his route to full-grown soccer academic.
First of all, you know, when we started it, I just sort of organized a conference and had to curate panels, basically. And back then, I had no idea that the aesthetics of football was one of my research fields. So that's just how it turned out afterwards. Really just thinking of it in terms of, I'm a soccer fan. If I want to work on this, how can I bring this into the academic context? So the only thing I can, you know, really talk about or where I have some expertise is the field of aesthetics. So let's put these together. Also, because back then I thought there isn't that much on the aesthetics of football out there. There's a lot on the sociology, the politics, politically inclined cultural studies work on football, but not that much on the aesthetics of football.
So you're here today to talk about poetry and soccer and the relationship between them. I suppose everybody is familiar with the idea that that is the beautiful game. So maybe people are kind of comfortable with the idea that there is this sort of intrinsic aesthetic quality to football, but maybe they don't understand that as poetry.
You know, people like Jose Mourinho, Mourinho once said that there are lots of poets in football, but they don't win any titles. So this, it's at least been used metaphorically, referring to a certain style of play and a certain style of player. And there have been other people talking about the poetry and poetics of soccer, like already in 1971, Pier Paolo Pasolini wrote a little newspaper article on the poetry of football, saying that in terms of style of play, that we can actually distinguish between more prose style playing and poetic style playing. So I'm picking up on these things and talking about the poetry of football in that sense.
How would you distinguish between those two types of playing then?
What I would describe as a particularly poetic kind of play is a kind of play that disrupts or the flow or the rhythm of the game in a creative way, speeding up, accelerating, a surprising pass. It has to have a moment of surprise that might set up an opportunity for scoring or leads to such a setting up. And those, I would say, are the poetic moments of the game. Can be dribbles, right? Can be certain passes, can be certain movements through space, you know, just creating space for another player on your team. These kind of things. The point for me is all about rhythm, because what I'm getting at is really just this type of functional distinction that you have an organized, systematic game or game plan, and then you have a certain rhythm, and then you have disruptions of rhythm, right? And it's those disruptions that I would call are the poetic moments of the game.
Maybe I'm just being provocative, but it would be hard to say that there is a meaning in a moment of football poetry as you describe it.
I would agree, but that's also because I don't think that the essence of poetry has that much to do with meaning, but it has more to do with affect. So it's actually using language or meaning, if you want, to go beyond language or go beyond meaning to create certain affects and sensations, to get at the core of a certain feeling or a certain feel. And that's something that does happen on the pitch too. And I would say, you know, whereas literary poetry, the material it worked with is language, in soccer we have bodily movements, right? It's unexpected movement. Whether it's a movement of a player's body or the ball that is being moved in a certain way that is unexpected and that we don't get in everyday situations, that would be the relation I would draw, rather than, you know, the meaning might be the starting point, but it's not the end point of poetry.
what you do suggest, I think, that football does have meaning, that those moments of poetry do have meaning in that they do produce an effect that talks about something beyond language or beyond the movement of a ball or a hand or a leg.
What it does, it gives you a certain pleasure, a certain enjoyment, a certain sensation that you can dwell in for, you know, sometimes these moments are shorter, sometimes they're longer. And it's an intrinsically aesthetic value that is being imparted, aesthetic in a sense of precisely, it makes you aware of what your body can do, right? Or what you can make the ball do, right? Or, you know, as a spectator, what these players manage to do, either as a collective or individually, if it's a particular driven. So in that sense, yes. Just to give you a concrete example, I mean, for the talk today, I thought about, okay, so Maradona's second goal against England in 1986 World Cup. I then really tried to see, okay, so what are the moves he's doing? Do we have terminology to describe them? What exactly happens? Maradona gets the ball, does a Marseille turn, passes English defenders, and then it's bodily swerves with which he overcomes the opponents. Then obviously acceleration and speed, much faster than the opponent's players. And then also the audacity to actually make these moves, you know, that's something you need to be prepared to do. Not everyone does that. Yeah, those are, you know, I'd say the major ingredients in that for that particular goal.
Having gone down this line, has it changed the way you watch football?
I mean, it certainly changes the way I watch football when I know that I'm watching, when I'm mining scenes that might be useful for the paper, then that's not something that I would have done otherwise. And I say, okay, pinpointing, okay, this is the Marseille turn and this is a particular bodily swerve and it's that trick and that trick. You just enjoy that he is overcoming the defense, but you don't necessarily look for proper terms to capture certain situations or certain moves. That's what's changed. Making an argument in a paper, you need to be able to precisely pinpoint what you're talking about, and that's what these terms are used for.
Rid van Asken there, co-editor of The Aesthetics, Poetics and Rhetoric of Soccer at the Art of Football Conference in Dublin. And next time on Culture File, we'll hear from New School philosopher Simon Critchley on what it is we think about when we think about football.